Blog Talk Radio.
Brenda Spann coming to you once again this week. I pray that you are truly blessed today. I am excited. Today I will be coming from the book of John, the 12th chapter. I know for the last couple of weeks I have been teaching on spiritual discipline, but I wanted to bless you with a word that I spoke a couple of days ago. I know in my spirit that you will be truly, truly blessed. And next week we'll be picking up back up with the spiritual discipline teaching. I am excited. I just thank God for what he's doing in this season. We are pressing towards 2020. I must repeat what Pastor Eve says. He said, let's finish strong. And so I am finishing strong this year. For this last 60 days in this year, we will be finishing strong. And so I'm just honored again. I'm so honored for the word that the Lord has dropped in my spirit to be able to share with his people today. Dear Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I come before you, Lord. I come before you, Lord, to lift you up, to glorify you, to magnify your name, God, to magnify your attributes, Lord. I thank you that you are omnipotent, oh God, that you are you have all knowing. You're all knowing, God. I thank you that you are omnipresent, oh God, that you're present everywhere, Lord. Lord, those that are listening today have a prayer, have a need, God. Many may be going through things with their finances. Many may be going through things with their health, oh God. And Lord, I ask that you look upon them today, Lord. I ask that you draw nigh unto them, Lord, that you wrap your arms around them, God, that you attend to their needs today. Lord, we ask for the prayer for the children today. We pray against the spirit of rebellion, God. The spirit of rebellion is roaming throughout the world, Lord. We ask to pray against it, Lord. We pray against these darts and the fiery arrows to try to come up against our children, to try to destroy their lives, try to destroy their destiny, try to destroy their future. We pray against it, Lord. We counsel with every debt of the enemy right now. We pray against every lie that the enemy is trying to plant into your children's mind, into our children's mind today, God. Lord, we ask that you turn it around for their good, oh God. We ask for a renewed mind to take place. Lord, we ask for a new renewed spirit. Lord, I ask that you continue to direct their footsteps, that you continue to guide them into, Lord, into righteousness, God. Lord, we thank you. In the mighty name, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Bless his name. He is worthy. I say God is so worthy to be praised. I just give him all honor. I give him all glory. And so I just, hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. The Bible declares that eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither enter into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. I believe this word that you're going to get, going to hear today is going to illuminate, is going to, that is going to open up your eyes to the truth of things that are going on in your life. And you may be wondering, why is things going on in my life? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Well, God is about to illuminate those things. He's about to bring those things to life to you, to explain to you what he is trying to do in your life today. And so again, today we're going to be coming from the book of John, the 12th chapter, the 20th verse. And the Lord, you know, a couple of days as I was driving in my car, the Lord said that he's going, I kept hearing the word replant, 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 replant. And so what God was telling me, he said, everything that, that people have sold in their life, whether it be tears or rejection or whatever it may be, God said he's going to replant. He's going to root it up and he's going to replant his fruit, his righteousness, his joy, his peace. And so we're going to get ready for God to replant. He's going to uproot those things. And so this week, I have been doing some soul searching and I have been dealing with some things. And so I wanted to know why certain things were manifesting in my life. And the Lord had to remind me that many times when we are dealing with anger or rejection or abandonment or low self-esteem or fear, it started with a seed. Oh, I have to say, it started with a seed. I have to keep saying that, saints. It started with a seed. There was a seed planted somewhere. There was a seed planted somewhere. There was a seed planted to cause the manifestation of the fruit to operate in our lives. And so a lot of times when we are dealing with a lot of different things and we wonder why am I feeling this way and why I'm looking for a man's approval and why I'm going through rejection and abandonment, why am I feeling jealous, why am I feeling angry or hurt on every little thing people tell me or do to me. Well, there was a seed planted somewhere. And so when we come to God, every nasty and every decayed seed that was planted, the Lord has to uproot it. He has to cut it off. He has to replant his seed. And see, you might say, what seed am I talking about? I'm talking about the seed, his seed of righteousness, saints, the seed of sonship. The Bible declares who the Son have set free is free indeed. And so when we come to God all messed up, well, God has to uproot those things. He has to cut it out and he has to replant. Okay, and we know sometimes we get impatient, but when it's been replanted, we have to know that we have to wait for the harvest to come. Sometimes God can manifest a harvest overnight or right away, but sometimes there is a process the harvest must take place, okay? And so this evening I will be coming from the 12th chapter again, the 20th verse of John, the 24th verse, and it reads, some Greeks who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration paid a visit to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. They said, sir, we want to meet Jesus. Philip told Andrew about it, and they went together to ask Jesus. Jesus replied, now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels and a plentiful harvest of new lives. Oh, hallelujah. Bless his name. Bless his name. And so in this text, we see there are some Greeks who have come for the celebration of the Passover. The Bible says they wanted to meet Jesus. Some commentaries say that these Greeks were probably converts of the Jewish faith. The Greeks that came over into Jerusalem for the festival, for the celebration. In order for them to travel to Jerusalem for the celebration of the Passover, they had to be someone. They were considered Greeks, but they, you know, Greeks, we know that the Greeks were considered Gentiles, and so we know that the Greeks was called unclean. They was considered outside the covenant of God. They was considered outcast. And so in order for these Greek men to come into Jerusalem, okay, for the celebration of the Passover or the Jewish Passover, they must have been converts of the Jewish faith. Okay, so I want you to get that, because we have to know that the Passover was celebrated majority by the Jews. Okay, God's chosen one, God, the promised people of God. And so, anyway, the Greeks, the Gentiles wanted to meet Jesus, the one who was considered the outcast, the one that was considered unclean, the one who was considered outside the covenant, wanted to meet Jesus. And we have to understand, they was not from Jerusalem. But the miracles, hallelujah, somebody need to get excited. The miracles that Jesus had done, it had echoed throughout the region. Perhaps they had heard about Jesus making a lame to walk. Maybe they had heard that Jesus was opening the blinded eyes. Maybe they had heard about the dumb was made to speak. And maybe they had heard about Lazarus being raised from the dead. But they had heard about Jesus, and they wanted to meet him. Oh, hallelujah. They wanted to meet this Jesus that was named, that was echoing throughout the region about he was the king of the Jews, that he was the Messiah, that he was the son of David. He was the one that they had wrote about in the Old Testament. The Gentile, the Greek, wanted to meet Jesus. And I find that the Greeks are no different than we are. When we heard about Jesus, when we heard that he was our Savior, when we read that he was our healer, we wanted to meet him. We wanted to know all about him. We wanted to know, how can we get this Jesus that we are hearing about? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. When we heard that he was our Savior, we knew that we needed him. We knew that it was only, if anybody could do it, it had to be God. It had to be this Jesus that many people have talked about. Many people we see in our own lives. Before I actually had my Damascus experience with God, I had heard people talk about Jesus. My mom had took us to church. We was in the choir. But I did not see the manifestation. I did not see the miracles. I did not see that happening in my lives. Yes, I wanted to be healed. I wanted to be delivered. But I didn't see this in my life. And so I would hear people you know, talk about what God had done for them, but I didn't see him active in my life, okay? And so, but once I knew that I got to a point in my life that if anybody can help me, it had to be God. It had to be God, okay? Men could not help me. Men could not save me, okay? And so I hunger and I thirst after God. And so just like the Greek men that came into Jerusalem, we as well, we wanted to meet Jesus. And many times we was at our lowest state that we wanted to meet Jesus. Because when a person is drowning, we want to be saved. Hallelujah. We want to be saved. And so we wanted to meet Jesus. Somebody needs to get excited. But when Philip and Andrew asked Jesus to come to meet the men, Jesus, he didn't say yes. He didn't say, take me to the men. Because one thing about Jesus was not about popularity. He was about his Father's business. How many of you today are about your Father's business? You know, sometimes we find ourselves in everybody else's business and want to know what's going on, but are you about your Father's business? Are you about God's business today? Okay, God has given you talents. God has given you gifts. God has made open doors for you. Are you about your Father's business? Or when you come into people, when you see people, when you meet people, do they know that you are a Christian? Do they know that you have been called by God? Okay? The Bible said, let our light so shine that God may be glorified. Okay? And so when we meet people, hallelujah, people should already know that you are a woman or a man of God. Oh, hallelujah. Remember when he had disappeared in the temple at the age of 12, he was sitting among leaders and teachers. And when Mary, his mother, found him, he told her, why was you looking for me? Didn't you know I was about my Father's business? Somebody needs to be about their Father's business today. And so Jesus knew, he knew his time had come. He knew his time had come. You see, they wanted Jesus to meet the man, but Jesus came to die for human. He came to die for humanity, okay? And so in the 22nd verse, Jesus replied, now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory, his glory. I'm reminded in the second chapter of John when there was a wedding in Cana in Galilee, and they had ran, I know you know the story, they had ran out of wine, and the mother of Jesus, Mary, said to him, they have no more wine. But Jesus responded to her, woman, why do you involve me? My hour, hallelujah, has not yet come. Oh, hallelujah. We have to know that God works. If God's timing is not our timing. I have to say that again. God's timing is not our timing. Okay? And so it's saying in the seventh chapter of John, verse 6, there was a Jewish festival called Shelter, a celebration. There was a celebration called the Jewish Shelter, and it was a festival in Judea. And Jesus was staying out of Judea because of the Jewish leaders were plotting to kill him. But his brother tells him to go to the festival so your followers can see your miracles. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus told them to go ahead to the festivals because why? My time has not yet come, okay? And so now Jesus is telling in the chapter, in verse 22, now his time is come, okay? Now Jesus said, my time is now. My time is now. He has told many times, you see in the scriptures, he has told people, my time is not, he told Mary, he told his brother, my time has not yet come yet, okay? Now he's saying in verse 22, saying, my time is now. My time is now. My time is now. What is your time? To enter into his glory. I tell you the truth. It says, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful
harvest of new lives. I love it. Oh, hallelujah. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it that Jesus compared his death and his resurrection and the church with a grain of wheat. Oh, hallelujah, saints. He compared his death and his resurrection and the church with a grain of seed. All right. And so he said a grain of wheat. He said he was trying to teach them that he came into the world to be planted. I have to say that again. He was trying to teach them that he came into the world to be planted. He was the sinless grain. Oh, hallelujah. He was a pure seed. He was the seed without defect, okay? He was a sinless lamb. The Bible said he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. But yet he did not open his mouth. He did not open his mouth. I'm reminded when he told the leaders, he said that if he could call on his angels would come and it would deliver him off the cross. But he did not call on the angel because he knew his time was now to be glorified, to enter into his glory, okay? Somebody needs to say hallelujah, hallelujah. And as I was studying the kernel of the wheat, I find that it is comprised of three units, okay? The outer layer of the kernel is called the bran, okay? Okay, and so that's the outer layer, okay? And so in the inner layer of the kernel is called a endosperm or a germ. The grain is comprised, oh, hallelujah. Let me say that again. The outer layer is the brain. It's called the brain. The inner layer is to the promise in the inner layer, and it's called the germ. Okay, and so what happened is the endosperm is set at the bottom of the germ in the kernel. Okay, and so it's one kernel, but it's comprised of three units. Okay, but it's still a kernel, saints. It's still a kernel. I don't know about you, but when I thought about the seed being comprised into three units, but yet it's one kernel, I began to start thinking about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in one, okay? And so we know, and I said again, it was the outer brain, the germ, the endosperm, but yet it's still one kernel, okay? And so the kernel of the wheat must die. Why? So it can bring forth abundance of wheat. Every seed is produced after its own kind. That's why the Bible says that you will know the saints, oh hallelujah, by their fruit. We are birthed out of the seed of God. Somebody need to get this. We are birthed out. The saints are birthed out of the seed of God. Something so small brought forth something so beautiful. Somebody need to say the church. It's talking about the church. Isaiah 53:10-12 says, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied by his knowledge, by righteousness. My servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgression. Oh, hallelujah. And so we are the abundance of the wheat that brings forth out of the kernel church, the church. Jesus tells the disciples in John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father, hallelujah, will give you. You heard me say in the beginning, he said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, if you ask, whatsoever you ask, it shall be done unto you. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. I'm reminded the two scriptures I have been meditating for the last 2 days. One scripture, I think it was Psalms 144, it said, blessed is the people who God is their Lord. Okay? Blessed is the people who God is their Lord. That who God is their Lord. That God is a Lord of your life. He's the head of your life. Okay? That when people see you, they see that you are anointed. God has called you, and that you're walking in his divine presence, and that you're doing the will of your Father. Another one is Philippians 4:8. He said, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things of lovely, and whatsoever things of good report, if you find any virtue, if you find any praise in these things, think on these things. Think on these things. And so sometimes I find myself all day long going about thinking about the love of Jesus, okay? Because he didn't have to save us, okay? He didn't have to choose us, okay? We didn't choose him. He chose us, saints, okay? And so I began to start thinking about his mercy and his grace, and many times where he protected me from my own self, where he protected me from harm and danger. I began to start just thinking about his love and his kindness. And so when I began to start thinking on these things, oh, hallelujah, those things have to manifest fruit. It has to manifest fruit. Why? Because I'm sowing. I'm thinking on the things that are true. I'm thinking on the things that are lovely. I'm thinking on the things that are honest. I'm thinking on the things of good report. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God's word is a good report, okay? His word is a good report. I don't care what the doctor has told you, the physical doctor has told you, but I know a great physician, oh, hallelujah, that's greater than the natural doctor, okay? And who report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the word of God, or are you going to believe the word of a natural doctor? Oh, hallelujah. You know, God's word does not return the void, saints. You know, I always say we have to stand on God's word. We have to trust God's word. We have to have God uproot all that unbelief, that doubt, that wavering. The Bible said that he that is wavering, let him not think that he received anything from the Lord. Okay, so we have to believe God's word. We got to take his word at value. We have to understand that, you know, God may be doing some things in our lives. We don't understand it, but we trust him anyway. Okay, and so Jesus said, this is the harvest out there in the world. We have to know, we have to be about our Father's business. God wants us to sow seed into others, okay? God wants us to sow seed into others. Why? Because if we sow seed into others, then their fruit will produce, and they will produce more seed, and they begin to start spreading the gospel, okay? That is a great commission for us to go out there. I think Matthew 28:29. He said, go out there and baptize them, okay, spreading the gospel. Okay, to everyone, spread the gospel, and that is a mandate, okay, saints? And so, what seed, the word of God, he said he will be lifted up. He said if he be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. Well, that scripture, we always quote that scripture, and he's saying that if he be lifted up, and see, but God has already been lifted up. He's already been lifted up on the cross. He's already been lifted up on the cross. And that's what that scripture is saying. If he be lifted up, he would draw all men unto him. He had to go and die for the sins of the world, okay? And he said, I have to go to the cross. He said, I came to be planted into the earth, to die. Why? So I can bring forth abundance of fruit, the church, the people, those that call upon me, those that were answering their calling, those that were hearkening to my calling. Those are the ones that I came to die for. Everyone, we have to understand that everyone is not going to receive Jesus as their personal savior. You know, we want them to. We would like them to. Even our own family. I have other families that they believe in different other things, you know. And so, but he said, but if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto thee. He's into him. And so we have to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, okay? Okay, as the scripture talks about, there's a narrow road that many, many few will find it, okay? And so I have some scriptures on seed. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, oh, hallelujah, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, okay? We have been born of not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible
okay? We have been birthed out through the seed of God. Oh, hallelujah. We come back. When he died on the ground, when he died, he talks about the seed dying, but when he died, okay, he brought, by his death, he brought what? Forth more fruit, okay? And so Genesis 9:9 says, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. And so this scripture is talking about, I think, Abraham. But we can apply it to our lives as well. We can apply and say that, you know, we can say that the covenant is, you know, we are heirs of Abraham, we are heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ Jesus, okay? And also we are heirs of Abraham, okay? And so if this word was spoken over Abraham, it's spoken over us as well. And we can declare and say, I behold, I established my covenant. God has established my covenant with you and with your seed after you. So we're saying that God is saying that my children will be blessed, their children will be blessed. God, why? Because God has established a covenant with me. Okay? Okay? And so Genesis 13 and 15 says, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and thy seed forever. Okay? You know, I have to always say that I'm a gospel preacher. I'm a gospel teacher. But I have to follow God's word. Okay? God's word says that he would give us, okay, land that we did not cultivate, you know, he will give us vineyards that we did not dig. And so we have to believe God's word, okay? We have to stand on God's word. Why? Because his word does not return void. 1 John 3:9 said, whosoever is born of God do not commit sin, for his seed, God's seed, okay, remain in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. I pray, oh, hallelujah, bless your name, Lord. I honor you today. I pray that you receive this word. I pray that you was able to understand it and apply it to your life and receive it with clarity today. I am so full. I am so thankful. I'm still adding on to this teaching that the Lord has put in my spirit. But I wanted to share with you today. I pray that you was blessed. I pray that you was blessed. I pray throughout the week, as we come together again next Wednesday, that you would be truly blessed, that God would show himself mighty in your life. And so I just thank God for the word. I pray to see you, talk with you next week, okay? God bless you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Ain't nobody stopping my shine. They try to break me, try to take me out, but I got Jesus on my side. So bad I thought it would die, but ain't no power stronger than the one that came and laid down his life. And I got mountains to climb, but the enemy can't stop me, cause there's a calling on my line. So when I'm crying, don't last too long, cause he gon' step in and make it alright. Won't he do it? He said he would. Fight your battles for you, they gon' wonder how you sleep at night. Won't he do it? I my downfall. Turned out to be the greatest victory of my life. Cause when it comes at your fast and hard, there's only one that could come and make it right.